ESPN 1000. It's Brian Hanley and Mark Zander on a Sunday morning. The White Sox, they won a game. Wow. Brian, Jake Berger, the man should be playing every day.
No doubt about it.
Is there really a dispute? Is there really a dispute at this point?
You know, I was in my car, and the rally was just getting going with the bloop double and Connor McKnight on the call and DJ, and I was parking, and I had to sit there and listen because you haven't heard one of those in a while, right?
Right.
So I was like, are they going, they're trailing. They hadn't scored in any inning up till the inning where they put up three spot, and that's just enough to get it done. But, that's what you need. You had seven hits. You only had three runners in scoring position throughout the game, but you found a way. And here comes a pinch hit home run by Jake Berger, and I'm with you. More of him. Get him in there as often you can. But, at least Tony, called his number when he needed to call him, and he delivered.
It was the right time. And, yes, he did not start. He came in to pitch hit. But we've seen that he has been a solid player for us, filling in for Mankata. Now, Yoan was in the lineup yesterday, and Yoan went 0-for-4. And we've talked about this yesterday. Yoan isn't quite the guy that we thought he would be at this point. And it all started with the COVID year and him being really affected by COVID, as we were told. 2019 was a good year for him. And now he's struggling. We don't know if he's playing hurt. We don't know if anybody's playing hurt. You look at a guy like Grandal, as we talked about yesterday. Is he playing hurt? I don't know. I certainly know that we don't have enough people to fill in for all the injuries we've had. And it's just nice to see Jake come in. And if we can find a way to put this man in, even when TA comes back, find a way to use Jake Berger more, because I don't think he needs to go down to AAA anymore.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does not, Mark. And here's the thing, because, the Rays did play the role of the White Sox. They left nine on base last night because Dylan Cease.
Thank God somebody else did.
They took their turn. Dylan Cease wasn't great, but he was good enough, I suppose. But seven walks. Now, that's happened a couple times recently. Mm-hmm. So he was struggling. I mean, he was using some pitches to get out of things.
But see, this is the case, right, where you have a pitcher that usually dominates, wasn't quite his dominating self, so we relied on another part of the game to get a W. And
absolutely,
that is what winning is all about, because not everybody is firing on all cylinders every game. We haven't had that. We haven't had that response until yesterday. And every time something like this happens, and it's been few and far between for the White Sox, it's like, okay, is this the turning point? Okay, is this the turning point? We don't know. But it was fun to watch yesterday that we actually, because, we had, I think it was Bummer, right? That or was it? No, it was Graveman that got into a little trouble, and he got out of it, thankfully, because you saw that coming, right? You saw, here we go. We have the lead late in the game. Here we go. Here's our bullpen. What are they doing? But it worked out, and Liam actually came in and
did his
job.
Able
to get it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it was good. And we talked about it yesterday a bit that, a team like the Blue Jays, their run differential is minimal. I mean, it's single digits, but they find ways to do it with two outs. They find ways when guys get on to get them in. And you need more of that for the Chicago White Sox. It's interesting because didn't get to this yesterday, but given the White Sox now minus 57 run differential, because they got just enough yesterday in the 3-2 win, and that was great for a day. According to MLB.com standings, their expected record based on runs scored and runs allowed to this point is 19-32. I mean, they're sitting in standings 24-27. But that's how much better it needs to get, because if you continue on this pace of runs scored versus runs allowed, you're basically playing with house money that you really don't deserve. Your record looks better than the algorithm says it should be.
Isn't that crazy? We're actually should be thankful.
Yeah. yesterday.
So twisted.
Yesterday was 19-31. You won the game and lost a game in the expected wins loss column because of the runs scored and runs allowed. So,
right.
But I mean, celebrate the victory and celebrate Jake Berger for delivering a big moment. And, on the north side of town, celebrate a couple not so young guys, by the way, in Matt Schwarmer and Caleb Killian. impressing, right? I mean, everyone was talking about Caleb Killian in our Twitter poll question today. Is who was more impressive, Matt Schwarmer or Caleb Killian? And you know what? You're spoiled for choice, at least for a day. And Matt Schwarmer, that's two consecutive starts where he's impressed. And we'll get into what he brings to the table. But, I mean, Schwarmer is 28 years old. Caleb Killian, who you got as the prime piece in return for Chris Bryant, he's 25. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like – and he's only one of, what, two top 15 Cubs prospects who is now at the big league level but was above the double-A level. Right. Currently, and Davis is on the shelf, back surgery. We'll get into that. But, you know, at least for a day on the north side of town, there was something to, you know, Christopher Morel keeps doing what he's doing. I mean, it's fun to watch him anytime he's in the field or at bat. But, you know, Killian lived up to the debut, and Matt Schwarmer that put a couple together that gives you hope that he can be part of this at the tender young age of 28.
You know, if you take the heavy expectations away from the Cubs, and I don't know who's walking around with high expectations at this point, you really get to enjoy what's happening up there. And it's not always pretty, and it doesn't always equal wins necessarily like yesterday. However, there are bright spots everywhere. Morel, Suzuki was a bright spot. He'll get back there at some point, hopefully. And you've got this, and a Cubs team that doesn't or hasn't really in recent years been able to grow any kind of. Now you could argue that Killian wasn't really within the system, so to speak. But Jed made a trade and traded away somebody that was near and dear to Cubs fans' hearts, and this guy looks good. So, yes, some bright spots on the north side for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that he delivered and in the first inning was impressive as it could be. And you know, not only was he striking guys out, but when the Cardinals actually put a bat on the ball, they didn't barrel it. The exit velo for their contact was 81.5 miles per hour. I mean, he busted bats. He got ground
balls.
Slow
it down. Yes,
yeah.
That's nice.
And he topped out at 97 miles per hour yesterday, but he was in the 93-95 range, even though he's known as a power pitcher. But one thing he did do at AAA Iowa, and he did pretty much last night at the get-go, is strike people out. And that's encouraging.
Yeah, it's really, really nice to see Cubs fans having something to be excited about. And you didn't know what you were going to get. Obviously, this was a highly touted prospect. I read somewhere that probably might have been the highest anticipated debut for a Cub pitcher since Mark Pryor.
Yeah.
Somebody write that down. It's like, wow, you know what? I can't believe that, but that just might be the case.
Well, Paul Sullivan, our buddy at the Tribune, wrote a column before the debut yesterday saying the one thing about the Caleb Killian thing, because the deal was just made middle of last season, right? It wasn't like, and you know, kind of alluded to it, they weren't in the system. So it's not like the Chris Bryant or even on the south side when you're waiting for Kopech to show up or all these guys. There was not that hype with Pryor, certainly with Chris Bryant, you know, times 100, right? Caleb Killian is new to the scene. And so within the organization, there was excitement. And as he got called up, I think Cub fans, you know, certainly wanted to pay attention to see what they have, because he gave up a pretty good player in Chris Bryant. You wanted to see if he got something in return. And so far, so good in a one game sample size. But there wasn't that noise that Joe Maddon embraced when Chris Bryant, you know, and Sully wrote about that he, you know, how glorious the momentum and all the hoopla was for the arrival of guys like that in Baez, and, you know, you didn't have that yesterday, right? So Caleb Killian, I mean, and we'll hear from him. He was just in awe of being at Wrigley Field. But I think Cub fans should be in awe that he only took seven pitches to strike out the first two guys. And it was perfect for three innings, right? And Schwarmer, I mean, he was no hit. He was going no hit through five. So a pretty good day on the bump, north side-wise, yesterday.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. What impressed you about either Schwarmer or Killian? Hard not to be impressed, right? I mean, you know, it's cautious optimism. One start. Schwarmer's got a couple under his belt now, but cautious optimism, but it certainly does seem like there are several reasons to be excited. Even though the Cubs are not winning the World Series this year, there's several reasons to be excited for today and the future for the Cubs. And I've got to mention that if anybody's noticed that Brian's voice is a little scratchy, he did drunken karaoke at Dan Rohn's party last night.
That's not true.
No. You were the moderator. You had everybody coming up. You were singing when nobody else
Mike Lowe, WGN reporter. WGN put on a terrific party and well-deserved party for one of the great guys in town, and Dan Rohn. And good Lord, it was at Chief O'Neill's up on North Elston. I'd never been there. It's a good spot. The staff was outstanding. But, I mean, everyone from WGN was there. Barry Cronin, who just, he was smart. He left early. I, not so smart. I stayed and enjoyed catching up with people I've known for 40 years.
It's hard not to stay at a party like that,
oh,
right?
Oh, my good Lord. I mean, the people I haven't seen, but people I worked with, and everyone in Chicago media are pretty close. And mm-hmm. I'm the laughs and the stories and man, the who's who of sports media was there last night. It was a lot of fun. So my, you know, first of all, tip of the cap to Dan Rohn for a terrific career, and everyone loves and respects him because he loves and respects everybody. And you give what you get, usually, right, through this life.
You hope so.
And Mark Giangreco was there. I mean, I don't want to leave anyone out. I could go through the whole roster until noon, but a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of stories, a lot of catching up, and a lot of saluting Dan Rohn and terrific times. So
what was your favorite song to sing? Born in the USA,
I'm not a karaoke guy, and there was no karaoke. It was just a lot of people telling great stories.
Hey, you know what? The picture in my head is so much better than reality. I'm just seeing you on stage, a little tipsy, moderating karaoke, Greco coming up, and you guys all singing together. Just really something ridiculous.
Yeah, no karaoke, really no music. It was just a lot of people talking very loudly because there were so many people in the room, and right.
And most of them are broadcasters, so we talk loud to be heard.
Right, and a lot of stories were told among people, and most
probably a lot that you can't
say on the radio, but a lot of laughs. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and you know, now the sun's threatening to break through here in the First Midwest Bank Studio on State Street, and so I might need some shades before it's all said and done.
Oh, you're going Jesse Rogers style.
Yeah, exactly right. Big time.
312-332-3776. We're talking baseball, and yesterday we were teasing something about hearing from Matt Nagy. We're going to try to fit that in today because Matt, you know, we thought we were done with him, and we are, but it's it was interesting audio, and I don't know, Brian, I don't remember where we got this audio from, but
he was addressing the Kansas City media
the other day,
he found a landing spot back at the old place where, unfortunately, mm-hmm. Ryan mm-hmm. Pace picked him.
And somebody asked him about the Bears then?
Asked him, how the experience, helped him out, and you know, did it change him in any way, shape, or form, and he went on, as Matt Nagy would do, brevity was never something that Matt
So is this a 5 or 10 minute cut?
I think it's about 3.5. Probably could have gone on longer, but maybe someone got a different question in there before he could come up for air.
312-332-3776. We'll definitely hear from that. And we want to hear from you on the north side. What did you think about those two pitchers that we've been talking about? On the south side, could this be a turning point? I'm looking down the box score, and you had Andrew Vaughn getting a couple hits. I mean, he's been a stalwart. You know, we can rely on him. We have to talk about Danny Mendick. Danny Mendick versus Leury Garcia. When TA is back, I don't want to see Leury playing every day. Danny Mendick has earned the right to play. Now, I know he had that base running gaffe, but he looks like a guy that really felt that for a few days, doesn't he?
Yeah, not only that, I heard him on White Sox Weekly with Tyler Aki. Really good interview yesterday.
Yes.
And talking about his approach and going back to Charlotte and how, you know, because he's had multiple hit games here that he's putting together, and he had a key single last night, before the home run and scored on the home run. But just his approach, and he seems like a very sincere and earnest guy. And, as much as you can't make bad base running plays, because we talked about the slim margin of error the White Sox operate on these days. But he delivered yesterday, and he's been finding ways to get on base, and that's what you need from guys like Danny Mendick.
Right, right. And if I anticipate never seeing something like that on the base paths from him again, because he looks like a guy who he's been up and down, right? Yep. He wants to stay with the big club, yep. and this has been several years. So you've got to think that that really impacted him, and he is all about making improvements and doing what he can to stay with the White Sox, and we look forward to that because he has been performing. 312-332-3776. We're hitting break. We'll come back. It's Hanley and Xander on a Sunday morning taking your phone calls here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Tonight is another Chicago Cubs debut. They have debuted several players in 2022, and the latest is one of the best prospects in the system. He came over from the Giants in the Chris Bryant trade last year. It's Caleb Killian making his big league debut. Edmund playing more shortstop now. That's his natural position. He waves and misses at a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. Three very impressive pitches. And the first man he sees in a big league uniform, it's a strikeout for Caleb Killian yesterday and was back in the field in Game 1 today. There's the first off-speed delivery from Killian, and it's back-to-back strikeouts to start his major league career. 1-2 to Molina. And he gets him to wave through and miss for his third strikeout, 7 up and 7 down.
Reception, his movement, they've obviously never seen him before, but he is dealing.
Got him, called strike three with paint at the knees from Caleb Killian. That time he waves through. And it's a strikeout, one down in the fifth.
Big league manager.
It's a pretty cool story. Good pitch by Killian, little cut action on the outside corner.
It was the best birthday present ever. I couldn't tell you one at first, but yeah,
birthday was, you know. So if your family, you're out on the field with them,
who
is here with you today?
I had friends come. I had my mom and my dad and my aunt here too. My brother couldn't make it, but it was awesome. So happy that I'm here.
Is today the first time you've been to Wrigley?
Yeah, first time. Coolest ballpark ever. What a place to debut.
What was that moment like earlier this morning when you walked out and saw that field for the first time?
Oh, it was so cool. Yeah, I got to at least get here early and check out the place, get comfortable. So it was really cool to just, I don't know, it was breathtaking when I first walked out there to see this place.
When you had to wait for your start, you know, the game before yours, how did that impact kind of your nerves?
I think it actually helped. I think it helped me just get like comfortable in here, settle down, see the whole place, walk around, meet people.
Wow, you could hear the excitement in his voice. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. Caleb Killian, 6 strikeouts, 5 innings pitched, 3 hits given up, and a couple walks. Not bad for a debut, and he is excited, and that just makes you excited, Brian. And I wonder how many listeners can actually separate the fact that the Cubs aren't going to have great success this year, but they can celebrate these bright spots and really feel like they're entertained and entertained enough and they're hopeful for the future.
Well, you know, you look at what he did and it was so efficient through 3 perfect innings, 31 pitches, right? Mm-hmm. And as I said, down at AAA Iowa, this is what he did. I mean, 41 strikeouts and 39 in a third innings pitched. So he gets people to swing and miss, and he also gets called strikes. And as I said, that, you know, when now look, teams will make an adjustment on him once they see more of him. But he really he's got at least 4 pitches, and he mixes them up pretty well. And Jordan Bastian from MLB.com broke it down. He used 43 sinkers, 23 cutters, 10 four-seam fastballs, and 7 curveballs. So he has a pretty good repertoire. And it's interesting because, you know, Chris Bosio told me one time, the former Cubs pitching coach, that Yu Darvish had 6 variations of a fastball. Now that makes him an elite guy who banked big time with the Cubs, and then they had to shed payroll and get 6 guys you may never see at Wrigley Field. But who knows? It's a story, different story for a different day. Maybe one of those turns out to be the next Caleb Killian type position player, and we'll be celebrating. But, you know, the fact that Caleb Killian already has 4 effective pitches compared to Matt Schwarmer, who, again, 28 years old, and he relies almost exclusively on his slider. 97.2% of his pitches yesterday, and the first two starts, are his slider. Now, he's got two variations of that slider, and so far it's been, deadly. And he, wipeout slider, he gets guys chasing, and he has a four-seamer that he's mixed in to a little bit of a degree. But the fact of the matter is he's going to have to come up with a third and likely a fourth pitch. And he said he's working on a changeup, but he's only thrown that pitch, I think, five times out of 178 pitches to this point. But again, the fact that he's got a go-to pitch and he has two variations of it is pretty impressive. And, hopefully that changeup comes sooner than later because
he's going to need it.
He's going to need it for sure.
Yeah. And as you were saying, to have different variations of the same pitch on the south side, Lance Lynn is that guy, right? He's got these crazy amounts of variations on, I believe it's his fastball. So those are different pitches, but at some point, they are going to make the adjustment, and that's a great point because, they're brand new. But just to hear, I'm just so energized by Caleb's just wonderment of it all.
Right?
I mean, in that press conference, he was just soaking it in like
called
it
the best day in his life, and look, I mean, a guy like Schwarmer has been toiling so long. You can find guys anywhere. I mean, with the 596th pick in the 19th round in 2016, the Cubs found Matt Schwarmer out of Kutztown University. I had to look that one up. It's in Kutztown, PA. Baseball, you can find guys anywhere.
You just have to find the right guys. But They're down there. They are there and they're toiling away. And these are people that want to learn and want to get better, want to put the work in. It's just the trick to find them. And we've talked so much about, talk about the Tampa Bay Rays. Here's a team that barely draws. And every year they have one of the lower payrolls.
Yep.
But I'll be damned if they're not good every year. They're not a challenge for the White Sox to beat. They are.
Teams to beat. I mean, that's
exactly right. Yeah.
312-332-3776 is the number. And Paul is in Valparaiso and our first caller up today. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. You're talking, just kind of touching on it there. Yeah, but I've heard a couple of times Schwarmer's 28 and Killian's 25, obviously a little bit older on the quote-unquote prospect list. But I think it speaks louder to what the Cubs are doing as an organization. They bring this Hughes kid up who's a converted outfielder.
Yeah,
their bullpen the last couple of years, even before they sold off last year, obviously they sold off some of the veterans, but they're starting to develop pitchers. And if you even look at a guy as dominant as Dylan Cease, what's he pitching, five innings a game? Yep. I mean, so I think if you can mix and match guys that can go four or five innings and you just actually have the arms and develop, maybe they draft some prospects in the next couple of years that have better, pure stuff and that are younger, if they can continue to develop these guys, like you said, if you got a slider, throw the slider. You throw what you throw well and keep throwing it.
Yeah,
the bullpen piece.
Yeah, until they make you do something different. I mean, if you've got a dominant pitch like that, and it's dominant right to this point, then, keep doing it. But, Tommy Hotovy, the pitching coach for the Cubs, he's working with the kid and will be working with Schwarmer, not the kid, but I mean with Schwarmer. He's new to the league. And hopefully they're aware they have to come up with at least another pitch. But right now, that slider is pretty awesome.
Yeah, because like I said, even if he ends up becoming a bullpen piece, and I think that's, like I said, they've developed some of these guys. Wick, has had some ups and downs, and I know he's had some injury issues, but at least, like you said, there's some guys in the system that you could talk about. Even at the lower level, they've got some more arms that are they're coming up, and maybe it's bringing in this guy, the new general manager from the Cleveland with the background with pitching, but it seems like they're doing a better job of, whether it's the pitch lab or whatever it may be, of developing more arms, even if they're not total high-end guys. Just the quantity will help.
Great call, Paul.
I want to ask you real quick, Paul.
Oh,
even though
dropped.
We know the Cubs are not they're not winning the World Series, are you able to enjoy these little victories and these bright spots for the future enough to be entertained?
Yeah, I think, as a Cubs fan, I want to keep, that's the stuff I'm looking at. I'm not looking at wins and losses, and I'm looking at guys like Christopher Morel and the energy he's brought to the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at, the hype that was not Chris Bryant hype, but there was hype enough about the Caleb Killian's start yesterday, and he delivered. I mean, it would have been terrible. Even, going out there in the fourth inning and running into some trouble, it was great to see David Ross bring him out in the fifth inning and he got through a clean fifth inning, and so he left with a good feeling and a good taste in his mouth and something to be proud of. And so then the team picked him up and got him a no decision too. So because he was trailing, going in the sixth inning, they came up with a couple runs to tie the game. So all in all, pretty good debut. But that's, as tough as this process rebuild is going to take, and however long, Paul from Valparaiso is correct. I mean, they're going to, with the losing, they're going to get higher draft picks, and they're going to have to flip those and be smart about it and start, supplementing that draft system and the farm system to get guys you can count on 2-3 years down the road.
Yeah, that is definitely the case. And looking at the box score, can we celebrate Jason Hayward getting a couple hits or no?
It's interesting because when Seiya Suzuki comes back from the sprained finger, Morrell's not going anywhere, right? And
no.
So Jason Hayward, he had some comments this week where he said, David Ross is a straight shooter and they have a good relationship. But he knows. I mean, he knows he's Mr. Intangible now. He's trying to lead the kids and show them a great approach. He's always been a great teammate and a professional. But he knows that as much as he wants to be out there every day, and he said that's impacting his offensive numbers because he can't get in the rhythm and a groove, the front office doesn't want to see any more of Jason Hayward than they need to. They want to see Suzuki. They want to see Morrell. And his at-bats are going to be further limited when Suzuki's healthy. And, he'll get the occasional start, but it's all about the future right now. And he's due $22 million next year, and he's going to get his money one way or the other. But, I think he's around for the rest of this season. And maybe at some point next season they just eat the balance of the money and designate him. And maybe he finds a home somewhere else because he's being paid by the Cubs.
I'll tell you something. There is somebody that was in the starting lineup for the Cubs yesterday that I really don't want to see in a Cub uniform again. And I'm not really necessarily a Cub fan. I'm a baseball appreciator here in Chicago. And I'll tell you who that is after the break. I want to see if you feel the same. 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Talking baseball in Chicago, both on the north side and south side. Exciting day yesterday with Caleb Killian. Getting a look. And before we went into break, Ryan, there is a player on the Cubs. He was not in the starting lineup. I was incorrect about that. But he was. He came into the game later and had a couple at bats. I've never been a fan of him. I was not a fan of him when he played for Minnesota last year. Do you like Simmons on the Cubs?
Right now, given where they are in their rebuild, and I can't get worked up about guys like that. I don't think he's a guy who's going to have staying power. So they'll sort it out, right?
Yeah, small sample size, but the couple times that I've seen him play for the Cubs, it's like, oh,
yeah, I know.
He's that same guy. I don't know what it is about him. When they signed him, what are they doing? Now, look, he's quick. He serves a purpose, but not a huge fan.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what they signed him for. I don't think it was, Suzuki was the only one they spent any money on, right? And Stroman.
Right. Right.
But, it's just, those are place fillers. By the time they're ready to contend again, and that's not a.
Well, you were trying
soon.
To give away Madrigal, so I know. Simmons and landed on your list.
Well, it's interesting because Madrigal went on the IL and came back, and I don't know what he did mentally. He collected himself, whatever. And he's back to being the guy that they traded for and the guy you enjoyed on the south side, right?
Yeah.
He's now putting the bat on the ball.
That happened to him last year, too. He had an injury that sidelined him for the White Sox for a while, and he came back, and he was hitting. Just a reset, I suppose.
Thankfully, because it was trending. Here's a guy who never struck out, and that's all he was doing. And all of a sudden, he gets a little bit of a break and, takes a step back, takes a deep breath. And so far, so good since he's been back.
Now, we're going to talk to Connor McKnight. We'll actually have him on in the next segment. And I look forward to getting his take on Jake Berger being an everyday guy, even when TA comes back, maybe, you know, how do we fit him in? How do we take advantage of Danny Mendick? You know, maybe at second base, is it time for Tony to break up with Leori? You know, as an everyday player, yeah. You know, is it time for their relationship to be on the rocks? I mean, what are we looking at? How do we start up Grandal? There's so many questions, but we are celebrating a win yesterday, and it was nice to see that Graveman got out of trouble. Liam Hendricks came in, did his job, and we came away with the W.
Yeah, you know, when you look at it, Jake Berger, it's his fifth home run. He said it's his first pinch hit home run ever in any level of baseball. So, I mean, that was new to him and couldn't have picked a better time to do it, right?
Right. Timing is everything.
But you know, the fact of the matter is they need a lot more of that. And, you know, the Rays, as much as Graveman, you know, had you holding your breath and all that, you know, the Rays struck out 11 times yesterday, even though Dylan Cease was issuing 7 walks. And I saw this. Dylan Cease is the 17th player in baseball history to record multiple starts where he allowed only one hit but allowed 7 walks. I mean,
it's been odd for him at times this year.
And he was even having trouble with the pitch calling system. I mean, he was fumbling with his hat because of things up there, and then, you know, he's listening to the catcher. The catcher pushes the button and tells you which pitches you're supposed
funny.
To deliver.
Sometimes it looks like they're talking to their hat.
Yeah, right? It's exactly right. Yeah.
312-332-3776. Another thing I want to ask Connor about is Yoan Moncada. I mean, at what point do we say, oh, it is what it is? And I think it's probably unfair to do that right now, but you know, as we're sitting here talking on ESPN 1000, there are a lot of White Sox fans, I'm sure, that are like, okay, cut the bait already. Let's sit him down and put Berger in full-time at third base. I'm not sure that's the right move, but to find a way to get Berger in there and to try to jumpstart Yoan, yeah, how do we do that? You know,
and you know, we'll ask Connor, but we can also ask White Sox fans. I'll ask you, Mark, since you are a White Sox fan. But we'll ask Sox fans 312-332-3776. The fact that Dylan Cease leads the American League with 30 bases on balls issued, is that a concern? Now, we know he's, you know, he throw 100 miles an hour at will, and he's getting strikeouts and he's limiting hits. But at some point, when you are issuing multiple walks per start, is that going to catch up to you? And you know, you got to figure out how to limit that, and you can't go, you know, continue at this pace, because at some point it's going to bite you in the butt.
Right. And last year, you remember, he was doing that kind of nibbling, trying to nibble at the corners.
Yeah, don't do the Dallas Keuchel painting the Nats ass on whatever he did.
Right. And he was doing that last year, and he wasn't doing it to success. And I'm afraid that that's starting to be an issue. He's got a 3.39 ERA
Correct.
Right now,
yeah.
and that's been the best it's been since he's been here. Obviously, he's had more starts already. 81 strikeouts. He's 4-2. His WHIP is 1.29. Yeah, you know, that is interesting. Hopefully, Ethan Katz sees that. Everybody sees that, but hopefully they're addressing that already, because we don't want him to fall into that. But I would think that, yes, if it starts escalating, that is going to be an issue, because then you're just erasing your strikeouts, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't mention Tony had a pretty good day, not only bringing Jake Berger in when he did, but a little luck on the bloop double, but Adam Engel came up in a pinch hit situation and got that thing going, right? So,
yeah. And Adam's another guy that we can kind of count on. You know, he's spectacular in the field. He's had a couple of plays in the field where he's really tried to make a sensational play. It didn't work. You know, that's going to happen. That's the kind of guy he is. But he's also saved a few home runs, more than a few, over the years. So it's great to have him in the field. And his bat is coming around enough to warrant him being a pinch hitter. When he first was developing with the White Sox, he wasn't a pinch hitting option.
No. And now, you know, again, a little bit of luck on your side, but you need that. You need the baseball god smiling on you. So you get and I know that Grandal had that foul pop up that he was, you know, DJ was saying on the call. He was limping a little bit, and he thought maybe he was trying so much body language to keep that fair and get a little bloop thing going, just like Engel did, but it didn't work for him, because a lot of things haven't worked for Yasmani this point in the season.
Yeah, unfortunately. And there's a guy that we need. If he could play half of his potential, because he's not playing half to his potential right now offensively. And if he could start walking again, I mean, that was his real value last year, as twisted as it was, you know, until he got his bat moving, he was walking. And that's getting on the base. And sure, you want to hit, but yeah, you know, as they say in Little League, sometimes a walk is as good as a hit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not always the case, but it's better than striking.
The catching situation, you know, the fact that Jake was pinch hitting for Reese McGuire, you know, tells you all you need to know. But thank God he did, and thank God he delivered. Justin's in Garfield Ridge. He's on ESPN 1000. Hey, Justin, how are you?
I'm doing all right, guys. How are you?
Great.
Good, good. What's up?
Just calling to say a little bit, I know we're in a little bit of a slump here, a Sox fan, but I just think that the team takes the shape of the manager, and if Tony doesn't start to show a little bit of fire and make a couple better moves, I think we're going to slip a little lower than 500 than we already are and going to lose this season.
You know, yesterday, Justin, I appreciate the call. I'm you know, a little too tired of too positive Tony, and I'm with Justin that at some point you can't just be the rah-rah guy, and maybe maybe I don't know, Mark, is he doing that to default because of all the questions coming in, which I think have been answered, that he wasn't going to connect with young ball players, he was going to be too
overcompensating
old.
The other
yeah
way.
I wonder yeah. because you know yeah. the Mendick thing, oh, that's an aggressive play and I like that, but the plays in front of you got to be smart
that
about
may,
it
that may be Brian that may be but I'll tell you something, another point to make here is TA is usually the rah-rah guy, and
yeah,
when you have a TA in the lineup, you don't have to be that, so it might be a little bit of both, which is interesting. We will we'll talk to Connor McKnight after we get back from the break here, and we can bring that up too. 312-332-3776. We'll talk to Connor about the White Sox and what we can look forward to today. It's Hanley and Zander here on ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, Zander and Hanley, ESPN 1000, heading down to Tampa, where last night this man kept me in my car while I was parking before going to the Dan Rohn party, because there was an actual rally taking place, and the White Sox don't have too many of those. They need a lot more of those, and a great call by the one and only Connor McKnight on Jake Berger's home run. Connor, how you doing, man?
Hey, Connor.
Brian, wonderful. Xander, good to hear from you, sir. Yeah, in all fairness to the White Sox, while I may have done the work keeping you in the car, the boys put the runners on base, and Jake Berger drove them home. So you've got Jake Berger to blame, I guess, for missing any second of Dan Rohn's party.
Well,
congratulations to Dan, by the way.
Absolutely.
What an amazing
yeah,
career.
I left part of my voice at Chief O'Neill's on Elston last night, but
you're a hell of a karaoke host.
Yeah, no, there was no karaoke. Stop that. But it was great to see, because yesterday, Mark and I were here yesterday morning talking about the fact that a team like Toronto comes up with two out RBI hits and do it on multiple games, you know, against the White Sox. And when the Sox absolutely need it, they haven't been able to deliver consistently enough. And you know what? Just enough yesterday. They had the one inning and that was enough. But you need more of that clutch hitting and pitch hitting and guys delivering when their number's called.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, you know this. I mean, when I finish up White Sox Weekly during the offseason and head into the car, I'm listening to you and Pat doing the hockey show. And I've been saying this about the White Sox the last couple of days in hockey parlance. While it has been frustrating to watch this offense, they have had the puck on the stick more times than not.
Yes.
You know, they've had runners on. It's been there for Jose Abreu in that last game against Toronto. It's been there for them in a lot of occasions. And they've just been looking for that big knock.
Yep.
From Jake Berger yesterday, you know, his first career pinch hit. That was pretty cool. Spoke to Jake a little bit just this morning. That interview will be on the pregame show with Dion Miller coming up in just a little bit here on the network. Look forward to that. It was a good talk with Jake. He's all smiles. And as they look for that big hit without Tim Anderson in this lineup for a while, it's going to have to be everybody getting it done, right? I mean, you need everybody to step
all
up and contribute at different points over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, Jake's that first step, hopefully, for the Sox.
Yeah, I get frustrated at any team I follow. And when you're scuffling and things aren't going your way, and you know, when I hear A.J. Pollock, you know, keeping the glass half full, it's overflowing, the positivity, and Liam Hendricks addressed it again yesterday, no sense of panic, and it's too early to be looking at the standings. I think a lot of fans, Cub fans, Sox fans, whenever your team is expected to do great things and they've done nothing but frustrate you, I want more sense of urgency. And, I said, you know, there's a Dairy Queen down in Tampa after the game the other night because he's talking about the great fight, right? And, well, the result wasn't good enough. And I just, as a fan of any team, I think we have a sense of urgency. And maybe as a professional, you can't live that way. But we're almost a third of the way through the season in a very bad, weak division. And you're sitting in third place, hopefully second after today. But you should be, I mean, the run differential, everything. There should be more of a sense of urgency from where I'm sitting, but I don't seem to be hearing that or feeling that. And I don't know, you're on this team. You know, I don't know where you fall on that, but it's frustrating times that it's all seashells and balloons. And when you know, each night it's kind of, you know, you're banging your head watching this thing.
Yeah, I think it's, Brian, I get it. I think it's frustrating as a fan base, you know, to watch a team that's not doing what you expect, what they said they want to accomplish, and you know, they scuffle out the gate for the first 60 games or so. I do think, though, that we're in a different era now with athletes who have come up, you know, mentally prepared in a very different way than, you know, when I was a kid in the 90s or even, you know, all that kind of stuff. We don't. You know, these guys don't go out there and just, you know, self-flagellate themselves, right? Man. They don't knock themselves over the head. They don't do any of these things. They can't. They've got to get in there with the same kind of confidence and the same kind of expertise that they came into the big leagues with. I think we see that more and more. And while, yeah, it is an adjustment, and it's not the kind of stuff that you and I grew up with necessarily, it is the way this works now. And I think when you... You know, when you talk, a lot of conversation we've had about Tony La Russa being hired as the manager, and can a guy who spent, you know, most of his major league career, you know, a generation before the players he's going to go manage, will he connect? Well, I think he has. You know, yeah. He understands how to speak that language of this modern player because he is, you know, quite frankly, speaking the language of this modern player. I think, you know, as we all kind of, you know, adjust our expectations for how we talk about and how we listen to our athletes talk about, you know, losing streaks or underperformance or whatever, there's a little bit of, you know, a little adjustment period, a little grading, but that's not been the case with this front office or the coaching staff. And I think that's to their credit, even though it might be a little bit jarring to hear, I suppose.
Connor, I know you have to run, but real quick, short answer to this. How does Tony break up gently with Leori and get Jake Berger into the lineup more consistently once TA comes back?
We have them in a Netflix series, Tony Loves Lurie. And everybody doesn't love Lurie, but Tony
How many
does.
Seasons are we going to see of this yeah. show?
It's a good one. That's one where you binge watch until 4 a.m. and then you're not really sure why you can't get up to work the next morning, right? It's like, I don't get it. I just watched a couple episodes. What time is it? Four? It's 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
Listen, I like Jake. I don't know that second base is a spot for him defensively is the thing. And defense matters. You know, I think it really does here. I know Jake would like to play second base if that means more play. I mean, who wouldn't? Let's be honest. Time spent in the big leagues is better than anywhere else. But I think defense matters here. So when it comes to Leury, I guess remember this. He is a very streaky hitter. And if you go back, you know, to the end of April, I want to say week and a half, 2 weeks, where he was one of the better hitters going on this team. One of the better hitters from a middle infield standpoint, too. So, you know, that he is that kind of player. It can get streaky like that. And Tony values handedness quite a bit in this game and in his lineup, too. He likes to stagger that kind of thing. So he does serve that purpose at the very least. And I think he does more than that. But it's just kind of a tough bit defensively when you've got, you know, a guy like Jake Berger and Vaughn and Jeets, you know, all kind of looking for spots, but none of them necessarily a second baseman.
Well, feel right. free, you and the White Sox, keep me in my car again today, right here on ESPN 1000. More of that, please. We need more innings, crooked numbers, clutch
That's
hitting,
your official
pinch hitting.
Request,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, I promise DJ and I'll do our part. That's for sure.
Yeah, DJ was very funny. That works in Clown Town. That was the line of the game for him. Yes, DJ.
He's
yes,
the
sir.
Absolute best.
Yeah. All right. Great job.
Have a
Keep
great
it going.
Have a great game. Yeah. Thanks, Connor.
Hey, boys.
Connor McKnight, you hear my on White Sox Weekly and on the Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network here on ESPN 1000. He'll be on the call today, and hopefully the White Sox wrap up the series with a win over the Rays. and take another step. If Cleveland can cooperate, maybe you find yourself in second place after it's all said and done today.
Wow, don't get me too excited now.
Well, because, you know, it's getting late early. I know it's, some people don't want to believe a third of the season through that, you know, you need to be better and you need to be closer to where we thought you